Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and the smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Moise Retsera, pastor of the Kalamazoo Filipino Company and Kalamazoo Seventh-day Adventist Churches. Now, here's Pastor Mo.
Let's have a word of prayer as we dive into the Word of God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you do. We ask, Father, that we would all make it to our heavenly kingdom. Please be with us as we go through the Word of God. May it be the Word of truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Fill your mind with the Word of what? Of God. Don't listen to the noise. Especially in a couple months, we're going to hear a lot of noise. Next year, we're going to hear more noise. The world is vying for your attention, and it wants to fill your attention with everything under the sun. But God is looking at you right now, and He wants your attention. You see what the devil does? He ramps up the noise, and when he ramps up the noise, he distracts people and he takes their peace, their joy, their hope, and he takes them away. But Jesus, right now at this moment, he's looking at you and he's saying, I want to fill your mind with that which is good. And that which is good is what, my friends? It is the Word of God. Right now, as Seventh-day Adventists or Christians, people who believe in the Word of God, it is time for us to fill our minds with the Word of God. Memorize Scripture. Sing Scripture. Pray Scripture. Dream Scripture. Walk Scripture. Talk Scripture. So that when the devil comes and he says, just like we saw last week, and he says to Eve, he says, didn't God say? And when he brings out deceiving things, because we know one of the things in the last days will be great deceptions. The Bible tells us, as you read it, he says, even if that time was elongated, the elect of God. Did you know that? That if the devil had his way, even the elect of God would struggle? So fill your mind with the Word of God. For the Word of God is the Word of love. And the Word of love is a Word of hope. And the Word of God tells me that in the end, who is going to win? God is, and who's going to be defeated? Satan. And he does not want you to remember that. From Genesis to Revelation, we read the story that sin entered the world, but God had a plan. Sin came back and tried to destroy the world. But God said, no, I have a plan. Time went by and God kept reminding the people he had a plan. And his plan was this, to put all of heaven in one person. Give the best of gift to man. His name is Jesus Christ. And to die on a cross on your behalf so that you can have the hope of what? Eternal life. That is the gospel. Their salvation in Jesus Christ. So fill your mind with the Word of God. Number two. Principle number one in the great controversy, fill your mind with the Word of God. And principle number two is very important. Don't forget who is with you. Don't forget who is with you. Little Johnny one day was going through school, and little Johnny, you know, sometimes school kids can be rough. Especially if you've gone to public school. For part of my experience in education, I went to public schools. And in there, little Johnny was going to school, and little Johnny kept being bullied very harshly. You know, kids, sometimes they think it's funny. But for little Johnny, it was not funny. They would call him names. They would take his food. They would push him around. And whenever they would play a game, they would always hit him the hardest. And little Johnny was afraid to tell his dad, because if he told his dad was a man who thought that if you were struggling, then, you know, that's your problem. So he didn't want to look like he was struggling. So he kept it all inside. Day after day, little Johnny would go to school and he would get bullied really hard. And soon little Johnny, you know how it happens. He started getting really skinny, would get mad, would cry, would do all sorts of things. And his family could not understand what was going on. But little Johnny had a relationship with his big brother. And his big brother said, "Johnny, what's going on?" He said, "No, everything is fine. Everything is fine." He said, "No, Johnny, tell me. Things don't look fine." He said, "Well," and he started to break down. He said, "I don't know what to do because every school that kid does not like me." So his older brother wouldn't say a word. And little Johnny just kept talking and talking. One day, the big brother did not say anything, but one day little Johnny went to school. And he started to go down the hallway, and there were the bullies getting ready for the fun of their day. What are they going to do to little Johnny today? So there they were thinking about it, and as they were getting ready to grab little Johnny, take his food, push him around, laugh at him, try to get the attention of the girls as they showed they were strong men, as they were getting ready to mess with little Johnny, guess what happened? They started running. And they ran for their life. Because guess who was behind little Johnny? It was Big Brother. And Big Brother came ready. You know, you and I today, the devil is a bully. He's been bullying many of us for a long time. He's been trying to find ways to discourage us, break us down. But principle number two is important. Remember who is with you. Who is with you is not only Big Brother, but the Old Testament calls him this. Are you ready for the names of Jesus in the Old Testament? One of the names that Jesus begins by is in the Old Testament, he has the name El Shaddai, which means Lord God Almighty. El Elyon, which means the Most High God. Adonai, which means Lord Master. Yahweh, which means Lord Jehovah. Jehovah Nisi, which means Lord is my banner. Jehovah Ra, which means Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord that heals. Jehovah Shammah, which means the Lord is there. Jehovah Chikenu, which means the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah, and I love this one, Mekodishakem, which means the Lord who sanctifies you. El Olam, which means the everlasting God. Elohim, which means God. Kana, which means the jealous God. Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. Jehovah Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. And then there's Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Who's your big brother? It is God. And when God shows up, you know what the devil does? He flees. He flees so bad, if he could find a pig, he would jump on that pig and make that pig run and jump into a river. That is what happened when God met those demoniacs. They had been terrorizing people, screaming, because they could not be set free from the demons that were upon their lives. As they were there, they saw Jesus. And the Bible, I love what the Bible says. As Jesus was there, he shows up on the shores. What happens to the disciples? Ellen White shed some lights. Those guys run and they go for the boats. Jesus is left alone with these two demoniacs and they're there terrorizing everybody. But when they see Jesus,
They know there's Big Brother in town. What Jesus says, he asks them and they tell them, they say, the demons that are with us, what is their name? Legion, for we are many. They plead, and God rebukes them and sends them on those pigs, and they run for the cliff. My friends, I want to tell you today that if Jesus is with you, the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. The Bible tells us in Isaiah, go with me to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17. And thank you, Brother Courtney, for reading the Word of God. So principle number one, fill your mind with what, my friends? The Word of God. Principle number two, remember who is what? With you. Principle number three, we find it there in Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17. The Bible says this, no weapon formed against you shall do what? And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. I love to read this Bible text in the New American Standard Bible. For the word therefore, their righteousness is from me, the Bible says, their vindication is from me. In other words, God says, yes, devil, you're able to bully these people, but when I show up, I would make sure that no weapon against them will shall prosper. That in the judgment, what will happen in the judgment, Trisan, when you show up in the judgment? And you show up in the judgment and the devil is there and he says, Trisan can't go to heaven. Do you know her past? Well, John shows up for the judgment and his name shows up there and the devil says, no, he cannot go there. He cannot go to heaven. What do you think God is going to say? God is going to say, you're right. But who died for Trisan and John? I did. And Satan, do you think I deserve to be in heaven? Does Jesus deserve to be in heaven? Yes, he does. And he says, I claim them as my own. They're with me. And if they're with me, who can be against me? And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, I have washed them in the blood of the Lamb, and they have chosen me over you, Satan. So I rebuke you. And there you are, your name, John, Trisan, Art, Marina. When they see your name, it is washed in red. For the blood of the Lamb has covered all your sins. Number three principle, this is it. When you choose Jesus in your life, He will always fight for you. He will always fight for you. God is like a relentless attorney who will always have your back. He won't give up. He won't relent. The only way you could get away from Him is if you choose to get away from Him. But He's always there. And whatever happens in your life, if you choose Jesus in your life, He will always have your back. Amen? There was a man who made some bad choices in Scripture. His name was David. But David says in the Word of God, he has never seen the righteous forsaken. David realized that whatever happened in his life, God had never forsaken him. I don't know where you are right now in your journey. Maybe you are in the valley. And the devil has had his way in your life so many times. You've wanted to make a decision for the Lord, and the devil is there. And he's broken you down. But guess what? There is a God in the valley. He goes down to the deepest depths. And he picks you up. And he says, you don't have to walk. Just come on my back. For your burdens are heavy. My yoke is what, my friends? Is light. In this warfare against the devil, there is a God who will always fight for you. And the Bible says if you stick with him, go with me to the book of Revelation, my friends. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. Are you still with me, my friends? Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. By the way, this is one of my favorite texts in all of Scripture. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14, the Bible says it this way. These will make war with the Lamb. Notice the word these there represent all the forces of darkness, the institutions of darkness. They will come and they will make war with who? Who is the Lamb? It is Jesus Christ. There's going to be a battle, just like we're seeing today in the great controversy. There is a fight, literally, for your life. If God was able to show to us the forces of darkness and the forces of good fighting for you. And there in the midst of this fight, in verse 14, it says, these will make war with the Lamb. Who is their ultimate foe? Or who is the person they're going after? Who does the devil really want? He doesn't care about you. You know, sometimes we think, I remember somebody telling me, well, you know, all of these people that care about me, these people were doing bad things. They really care about me. They love me. And they were doing horrible things, and they were doing things that were not right. But you know, the devil doesn't care about you. He doesn't love you. He will make you feel as if he cares about you, but what he cares about is about hurting who made you. The reason why the devil is attacking, especially the church of God today, is not because he cares about us. It's because he knows how much you mean to God. And if he can hurt you, he knows he will hurt Jesus. So the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 17, it says, these will make war with who, my friends? The Lamb. And the Lamb will do what? Oh, I love these verses, my friends. It says, the Lamb will do what? He will overcome them. Notice it doesn't say, you through your own powers, you will overcome the devil. No. But Jesus, what will he do? He will overcome. And the Bible says this. And it says, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with what, my friends? With him are called, chosen, and faithful. You see, the victory over the evil one happens when we are with Jesus. When we are with him, the Bible tells us the victory of Jesus will be our own. The victory of Jesus upon the cross, we can claim it as our own. And the victory of God over Satan, we will be able to claim it as our own. That the devil came for me, but Jesus saved me. And because I follow Jesus Christ, there is a crown laid in heaven for who? For me. You see, my friends, if we are with him, what will Jesus do? He will overcome the devil. The question for you and I today is, who are you with? Who are you with? You might question, well, how do I know who I'm with? Let me ask you three questions. What occupies your mind the most? Who holds your resources? Who holds your time? Who holds your influence? Those are questions I must ask myself. Who holds my time? What do I think about the most? Do I think about the things of God the most? Who holds my resources? Who holds my money? Who holds the things that I have, my car, my house? Is it the world or is it God? And who holds my influence? Do I try to use my influence for good or do I try to use it for evil? If you can answer those questions, you will know who you're with. And if you're with Jesus, he says, you will overcome. Amen? And principle number 4 is when you've filled your mind with the Word of God, or you've sought God, when you know who's with you, that bigger is with you, and when you know that He will fight for you, then here's the last principle. Go forward in faith. Go forward in faith and fight the good battle of faith. Going back to our good friend Timothy, Paul there, knowing that he's about to be executed very soon anytime, gives Timothy this last counsel. It's actually found in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Just as he has counseled Timothy to fill his mind with the Word of God, Paul wants to tell Timothy this last counsel. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. We'll start at verse 8 to verse 11. 1 Timothy. The Bible says it this way. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8 to verse 11. It says, for bodily exercise profits a little. And you know your pastor loves to exercise. But it profits only a little in comparison to this. But godliness is profitable for how many things, my friends? All things. Having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. In a nutshell, what Paul is saying to Timothy is that this work that you're doing is an important work. It's an important work. My Kalamazoo family, this work of being faithful to God is an important work. Amen? Keep the fight. Keep going forward. And he says this in verse 16. He says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. In other words, the teachings of the Word of God. Continue in what, my friends? In them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who do what? Who hear you. Paul is telling Timothy right now, and he's telling you and I, continue in the work of God. And you will save both yourself and those who will do what? Who would hear you. I'd like to close with this story. Ellen White, one of her favorite stories to tell, was of these two men, or this man it starts out with, who was caught in a winter storm. This man was caught in a winter storm and he felt like he was stuck. The storm was really bad and it was getting cold, and it was in those days where, you know, they probably did not have Under Armour. And, you know, all these technologies that we have today to stay warm, in those days, you needed to have multiple layers. We still need multiple layers in Michigan. But there he got caught in a very cold storm. He had tried to escape the storm, and As he was trying to escape the storm, he realized that he was getting stuck, tired, and cold. But he said, I must go on. So he tried and he tried, and it got colder and colder, and soon the vigor of life started to leave him. And he started to toy with the idea that today might be his last day. But he said, I don't want to die. So he tried again, but he was getting, at this point, he was starting to get frostbites. He tried, but he was getting weaker and weaker, and soon it started to get dark. And in his heart, he said, today is going to be my last day. It's over. There he decided to conserve his energy and just lay there and to wait for the cold winter to take his life away. He wished he could continue, but he had no strength. He was done. Until as he was laying there waiting to pass, he heard a little whisper. And the little whisper said, is there anybody there? Is there anybody there? He realized that there was somebody else that was also stuck in the winter in the storm. Oh, he said, I must help that person. So there he started looking for this person, and there he found him. And he saw him there covered in snow and trying to survive. And he decided, well, I got to find a place for this man. So he started to pull this man. And he was pulling him, because he said, this man is going to die. And as he kept pulling him, soon he did not realize that he was approaching a little house. And in that little house, there was warm fire. He pulled the man, saying, I must save this man. And as he pulled the man to safety into that little house and was welcome in that little house, he not only realized a very important principle, not only did he save that man, but he also saved his life. In this great controversy, it is in seeking the lost that you will find the sure path of salvation. It is in taking time to seek those that are lost that we shall see where Jesus works, where his feet have gone, and what his hands has touched. To you and I today, we have the opportunity to go forward in this fight and to see where Jesus is. But if you want to see where Jesus is, he is out seeking the lost. So today, the appeal for you is simple. Are you willing to fill your mind with the Word of God? Are you willing to realize who is with you and understand who is fighting for you? And are you willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to go forward and choose the good fight of faith and go and seek the lost? If that is your desire today, I'll invite you to pray with me. And as we pray together, let us commit ourselves to the Lord. For if we commit ourselves to Him, the gates of hell will not prevail. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, today, we are like that man caught in that storm. But Father, we realize we have a work to do. And there are so many people around us today that are going to Christless graves and dying without the hope of Jesus Christ. And Father, the blessing of seeking them is that we too, as we engage in this work, we too shall find salvation. So today, Father, we want to be with you. and we don't want to let you go. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Moise Ratsera, pastor of the Kalamazoo Filipino Company and Kalamazoo Seventh-day Adventist Churches. If you enjoyed his sermon, why not visit him every Saturday at 1601 Nichols Road in Kalamazoo, Michigan at 11 a.m. or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.